I don't think we ever actually told the listeners this. We're not structuring it.
We're kind of playing it fast and loose now.
Well, it's not that we're playing it fast and loose. It's more that when you sit there every week and you're like, oh, I got to find a national, and oh, I got to find a world, and oh, I got to find a sports. And Shay in particular is like, oh, I got to find a sports.
Yes, I am in particular. It's baseball season now, though, so that's less so.
There are two things that happen. Number one, you wind up elevating stories that are weaker than you would like just because they fit a category. Number two, you wind up throwing out stories that you would love to talk about that are important because, oh, we got to do a world story. So
yeah,
it evolving once again, and it's really more about, you know,
this is a living animal.
What is important? What is relevant? What is going to affect your world? What should you know about? What are the stupid people saying that we have to come in here and correct every single week? I get tired of that. I really, really do.
Yeah, it gets exhausting calling out people for being dumb.
Yeah. So what do you got?
Well, this actually is sticking to our structure, or loose structure.
Sports?
This is a national...
Sports?
Yeah, I sports? Always want to talk about sports.
Shay brought
that
sports
aren't baseball.
Story. You never heard a sports story.
No. This is Republican Vermont Governor Phil Scott intends to allow a comprehensive abortion rights bill to become law as other states led by Republican governors across the nation work to restrict the procedure.
By comprehensive, what is he putting forward?
It's Bill H-57, which passed both the state and House Senate earlier this year, which would recognize as a fundamental right of the freedom of reproductive choice and prohibit entitles from interfering with the restriction of an individual to terminate the individual's pregnancy. The measure would also protect rights to choose or refuse contraception or sterilization, or to choose to carry a pregnancy to term, to give birth to a child, or obtain an abortion. This is pretty dope.
Have they got, have they got anything crazy in there? Which is like, we're going to allow abortion up to 8 months.
Well, that's, I was actually discussing this with my brother.
Because New York State
passed that garbage
down there.
And Alabama is basically treating it as murder now.
Yeah, they're treating the doctors as murderers.
But I actually recently discussed this with my brother, who... Maybe one of the hardest things I've ever done is telling my brother that I had an abortion. But I think it's an important thing for, as a woman in broadcasting, things like that. I think it's important for me to share with everybody. And if I'm going to, my family should know. Instead of them listening to this show and being like, ooh, that's news.
What makes you think you should have autonomy over your body, Shay? Who do you think you are?
Awesome. That being said, but I was discussing this with my brother. Like, when I had an abortion, I literally, the second line showed up on the strip, and I called Planned Parenthood and said I needed a procedure done. And I actually paid $25 more because it was so early that they couldn't legally do it without charging me more. And that's what I was discussing with my brother, is that it, but by the time you're like 6 or 7 months along, but even by the time you're like 4 or 5 months along, you're already pregnant. Like, just have the baby and put it up for adoption. There are so many people who really, really want a child and who would kill to have someone make the ultimate sacrifice of giving them, having you give them their child.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, I mean, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but...
But you weren't doing cartwheels out of Planned Parenthood afterward, being like, yay, it's gone, you know.
It was awful.
Dancing in the streets, wearing your pink hat, and
I kept, like, the worst mistake I made that day was they did an ultrasound to see how far along I was, and I looked at it, and that was awful.
Yeah.
It's burned into my brain. But I knew that I couldn't provide a proper life. I knew I knew that I couldn't handle it financially or emotionally or even physically. And so I made the decision right then. But I do think that, like, that's why I found this story so interesting. This is from CNN, by the way. But that's why I found the story so interesting, was that I am absolutely in favor of a woman's right to choose.
So what
that
is...
That being said, I don't think it's okay to have... Like, when I had an abortion, it was couple cells being tossed around. Like, it was just a cluster of cells. It didn't have a heartbeat or hands or feet or a face. Like, it...
I know I can say, Joel, go get your band, and he's not going to hear this, so...
I already told... Joel, go get your band!
Yeah, he's not going to...
But it is, like, this is what's interesting. Like, literally, in New York, you can be in labor and have an abortion.
That is where... That's why I ask you what's in the Vermont bill, because...
No, this is... You can. This is basically saying the same thing as what's allowed in New York. Is that? That's why. Like, as much as I went to a Catholic college, and they used to, once a year, they'd put up flags to represent every quote unquote child that had been killed by abortion. And it drove me nuts.
I've started asking people who I know who are rabidly pro-choice if they support postnatal abortion. None of them have said yes yet, but I'm waiting for someone to say that, because that's an acid test right there.
Well, that's
if you support postnatal abortion, I can't even talk to you anymore.
I have such a legs on either side of the fence position about it, because, like, the day
you should keep your legs together on one side of the fence, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Oh, shut up. The day I went in for mine, there were all these Catholic women protesting outside of Planned Parenthood. And I looked at them and said, I'm going to give you my phone number. I want you to call me on the worst day of your life, and I am going to stand outside and protest against it and bother you about it and make you feel even worse than you already do. Like, I couldn't, but at the same time, I can't legitimize, oh, good shot. I can't legitimize, like I said, I just, if it's already, for lack of a more respectful term, if it's already cooked, just give it up for adoption. Everyone already knows you're pregnant.
I cannot.
It's like that part, like, for me, it's like no one except my close friends knew that I was, because it was that early. And I got, like, the earliest appointment that I possibly could.
Right.
Once you're showing and once people know, just have the freaking baby.
Well, look.
And give it to someone who is desperate to have a baby.
I support.
There are so many women. I have a friend who has had 5 miscarriages. 5. And she is so desperate to have a child. And it breaks my heart thinking that there are people who could very, very easily give her one.
Here's the thing. I mean, with what's going on down in Alabama, because we had the big protest yesterday. Everybody was like, abortion
yeah,
rights
I was gonna
now.
Say,
abortion.
Was really mad yesterday.
And it's like, you know what? Calm
That's
down.
What I was debating whether or not to have that be the story or the story that I chose.
Calm down.
But I figured it would come up either way.
The whole reason that these bills are being passed in places like Alabama and Mississippi and whatever other states are doing this right now is because somebody's got the crazy idea that Brett Kavanaugh is going to vote to overturn Roe versus Wade, which I will sit here and tell you right now, he is not.
It's not going to happen.
Brett Kavanaugh is not your guy. Like, Neil Gorsuch may be your guy, but Brett Kavanaugh is not your guy, and it's a 5-4 majority. So
it's just, it's the way our government is set up. It's not going to happen. Like, it's no matter how anyone feels.
The simple reality is that we need to stop having this debate. Because however you feel about it, and I happen to be pro-choice, I think what's going on down in New York is out of control. Okay? The late-term abortion, no. I cannot support that. I will not support
Me
that.
Me neither. And I'm speaking as somebody who has had an abortion. Like
18, 20 weeks, somewhere in there. Because a premature child born at 21 weeks now can survive and yep. grow up to have a normal life. So
And can be, as I've said, can be given to parents who really, really want them.
Yeah. When you start talking about abortion at 20, after 21 weeks, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Not because, number one, if you haven't figured out by week 21 whether or not you're going to keep the kid, you may as well just have the kid.
No, that's precisely what I told you. I was talking to my brother about this, and that's precisely what he said was, like, It should be a snap decision.
Yeah.
It should be either I can't have a kid or I'm going to have this kid.
Look, I can see.
Immediately.
I can
the
see.
The moment you find out that you're pregnant.
It's a big life decision. I can see putting off a decision for a couple of weeks. You know, I can see some level of procrastination involved in all of this. 21 weeks is a long, it's 5 months.
And I'm in a unique situation to have a very unique opinion on this. Strip, turn blue, call Planned Parenthood yeah. and made an appointment.
If it takes you five.
Like, if it takes you five, I'm really trying not to swear on the radio right now.
If it takes you 5 months to figure out what you want to do, you shouldn't be having sex.
You shouldn't.
You really shouldn't.
And also, honey, condoms don't cost that much.
Yeah.
Like, that's what blows my mind the most
about
it.
I want to take that out of it.
It is actually really, if you're just having random sex, it is really hard to get pregnant. Like, there are people who try for months and months and months to get pregnant. The fact that I did was because my boyfriend lied to me about not being able to make children.
Well, you learned better on that one, didn't you, Shay?
Yes, yes.
Turns out,
Shay Catherine Spillane did.
Turns out men will say anything to have unprotected sex. Who knew?
Yes, yes, they will. Yeah, that's, I think after that I got the abortion and then went on birth control a week later.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is that, like, you have to be really stupid and irresponsible to get pregnant these days. There are so many things to prevent it, most of which are covered by government subsidized health insurance.
But I don't want to blame.
I'm not blaming women on getting pregnant at all. I'm just saying that it's very difficult to get pregnant. And on top of that, if you do, it's black and white. Most things in life are gray.
Yeah.
It's black and white. Deciding whether or not you're going to keep this child or bring it to term and give it up for adoption or have an abortion.
There is a very,
it is black and white. There's no gray.
There is a very, 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 very small percentage of women that use abortion as birth control. A very small percentage. And I've spoken to practitioners about this. So and people who've worked at Planned Parenthood, and they're like, that's really a myth, but Yeah, there's always like one or two. And we do everything we can to get them to stop doing what they're doing. And we don't have the power to do that. So this idea of the woman who's just out, oh, you know, having sex all over the place and then going to Planned Parenthood every couple of months.
Yeah, just like.
Really is a myth. Really is a myth. There's, yes, if you want to go look for one, you can find one, but it's a little bit like the welfare queens. Well, you know, I mean, yes, there's someone like, out there defrauding the government. That's not what most people are doing.
Well, like I said, it's to this day one of the worst things I've ever had to do.
Sure.
And I'm sure that anyone else who has had to do it feels the same way.
I don't know anyone who's had one who feels good about it. Yeah. But
I mean, I feel good about it in that I knew it was the right decision, and it saved me from ruining a child's, like bringing a child into the world when I wasn't ready to.
But let's talk about this practically, okay? Abortion is good public policy.
Yeah.
Choice is good public policy.
That's the big thing of it.
Just because abortion is legal doesn't mean you have to go get one.
Yeah. Well, and lots of people choose against it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea, is that I hate when people say because you're pro-choice, you're pro-abortion. It's not that you're pro-abortion. It's that you're pro letting a woman do what she wants to do with her body.
Well, you're
making the proper decision based on her life at that point.
You're pro science and anti big government, and those are good things to be, as a general rule.
And that's the whole point of how our government is set up.
The problem that we have in this country is that we have people who say, I cannot rest at night as long as somebody somewhere is getting an abortion. And it's like,
that's absurd.
Let it go. You let it go.
Well, you know what? I have trouble resting thinking about that there are white supremacists terrorizing people.
Let it go.
Like, that's my point, is that it's, okay, well, the whole point of our country is that the whole thing it was conceived from is we all get to think whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
And everyone else just has to deal with it.
Yeah.
And like I said, it bothers me that there are white supremacists. It bothers me that there are gun owners who are wielding them everywhere. But I accept it.
Do you want to
Here's
a question.
Because I'm supposed to. Because I'm lucky enough to live in a place where I get to talk on the radio, despite the fact that I am a woman, and like, it's.
I don't even make you wear the burqa anymore.
I was gonna say,
big step forward.
I don't. My wrist. I'm wearing a wife beater right now, and it is also speckled in pink paint.
But
that's my point. Is that it's. I accept the fact that there are people that I don't agree with out there, because I'm allowed to be exactly who I am.
Here's a simple question. Do you want to live in a country with more freedom, or do you want to live in a country with less freedom? We should all want to live in a country with more freedom, because
amen.
When you have freedom, you have the freedom to not do something. You have the freedom to choose to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to judge you. It's not, the government isn't going to, you get pregnant at 16, the government isn't going to lead you down to the abortion clinic and say you must get an abortion.
Or force it's you to have the baby.
Choice.
Yeah.
It's choice.
And that's like, I talk to my brother about this sort of stuff all the time. And one of my favorite conversations I've ever had with him was about how our government is built in such a way that you are welcome to break the law. Like, you can just break the law.
Sure.
Knowing that there are built-in consequences for you doing it, and knowing exactly what those are. It's like, you can go rob a bank. You can just go and rob a bank. I'm not going to, by the way.
Someone did up the road here last week.
But that, oh yeah, I read about that. But you can just go rob a bank. You can totally do it. Knowing that if you get caught, this is exactly what's going to happen to you.
You're going to jail for 8 years.
Whereas if it's a federally funded bank, it's 20. I looked into it.
Yeah, it winds up being 8.
Yeah, if you behave. But that's, I mean, that's the way that our government is set up, is that, and that's, and a lot of people try to ignore that. But that's the way it's supposed to be, that you can do, our government is set up in such a way that you can do anything.
Pretty much.
There's just built-in consequences for if you do anything too hard, basically.
Yeah, you can't yell white power in a crowded theater, yeah. But you can do a lot of other things.
Yeah,
but
like, it's, I mean, and that's why it's so absurd to me that
if you want,
anyone tries to say anything about anyone's right to choose anything.
If you want to argue the position as a person of faith that you don't want your tax dollars being used, your public money being used to fund abortion, you have a leg to stand on. I think that is a fair argument to make. But that doesn't extend to, I don't want anyone to ever get an abortion anywhere within the confines of my state. That's when you go too far.
Yeah.
It is, you are not responsible for your neighbor.
Precisely. Like,
stop trying to be.
You can't.
Stop it.
It would be the same as, like, I grew up really, really Catholic, and one of my best friends growing up was Jewish, and it would be the equivalent of me being like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
The New Testament is right. Screw you. Change your religion. Like, which I would never do, because Judaism rocks.
Well, it would be the equivalent of you saying you can't worship that anymore. You have to worship
Jesus, who I don't even believe in anymore.
Or you're going to jail for 99 years.
But that's the thing, is that it's the equivalent of that. It's trying to tell someone else how they're supposed to feel or think. And our country was founded on going against that exact concept.
Let abortion be legal. Put all of your efforts and your energies and your campaigning into convincing people to adopt rather than get an abortion.
Yeah, exactly.
Do that, and you will satisfy your God, and we will have a stronger country.
You will satisfy your God. Because that's such a beautiful concept.
But let me tell you something right now. We are not turning back the clock on abortion. It is not going
to
happen.
It's not going away.
It's not
going away.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to. There's too many people like me, like D, like everyone, who are just not going to allow that to happen.
There's about...
Especially when I've been raped. What if I had gotten pregnant from being raped? Like, you'd want me to have that freaking baby? You would put me through that?
God never closes a door without opening a window, Shay.
Yuck.
Yeah. The real problem with this, the reason that we're even going through this right now, and by the way, if you're out protesting,
I'm sorry,
this,
I don't mean to get so upset about this, but it's something that really, really, really upsets me.
If you're out protesting this, please stop. Because let me explain something to you.
You're wasting your time.
You are wasting your time, because the people who are going to make this decision are people who are unimpacted and unaffected by your protests. This goes to the courts, and the courts don't give a hoot. You can go jump up and down and scream and yell and gather in front of state houses and wave signs around all you want. The people who are making this decision are going to make it on the basis of constitutional law in the United States of America.
Which means that it's going to stay the same.
We have a wonderful precedent called Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
It is not going anywhere. All right.
Now, get it, Roe v. Wade.
Now,
get it.
That said, if you want to protest, you might want to go down to Washington, D.C. and ask Congress why in the 40 plus years since Roe v. Wade was passed, they haven't actually passed a federal law making abortion legal. Congress could put a stop to this right now. Congress could put a stop to this. Not right now. It takes a couple of months to get legislation passed.
I was going
to
say, like, really? We could snap our fingers?
When the Supreme Court passed Roe versus Wade, they gave Congress a reprieve. And they basically said, we're taking this off of your shoulders. We're saying the federal government can't ban abortion. Okay? The states get to decide. The Supreme Court did not say that Congress could not legalize abortion. They never said that. Congress writes the laws in this country.
Well, that's...
And Congress does not want to touch this with a 10-foot pole because Congress knows we're going to have to pass it.
It's going to be a... Oh,
people
God,
are going to lose their seats.
FCC, can we please start swearing on the radio? Because it makes me express myself better.
They're worried that people are going to lose their seats. That's why they won't touch
it. But that's the thing of it is that it... I mean, it's the same issue with legalizing pot is that we have state laws and federal laws. And when it comes down to it, even if the state laws pass something... The federal laws are the ones that decide if it's actually really real. And like you said, it's Congress. It's whatever Congress decides.
You get a pro-pot attorney general serving for a president. I think Congress will move on that. Because I think...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that like even, I mean, I got stopped the other day when me and my friend were smoking a joint in Boston Common. And we weren't hurting anybody. We weren't doing anything. And the cop tried to give me a ticket. And I was like, no, you're not giving me a ticket. I definitely dropped the, do you know who I am? In terms of that issue. But he said, you know, it's federally illegal. And I was like, yeah, I am way too aware of that.
Yeah.
But state legislature, it's legal.
You can smoke pot.
And I am smoking pot in a public place away from children with my friend.
Yep.
And I have OCD, so I have a card that says that I can legally smoke pot whenever and wherever I want to. Yes, it's federally illegal, but if you try to give me a ticket... Your life is going to be a living hell.
Well, the cops, for most people, the cop shows up and everybody's like, oh, run away, it's the cops. And they're used to that. You know,
well, that's the thing is that like he expected me to do that. And yeah. I just looked at him and was like, nope.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're dealing with.
They get confused when someone who knows their rights is there. And it's like,
I just looked at him and was like, nope, you're not giving. I'm standing right here. 4 feet from you, and you are not doing anything to me. And he literally just looked down at the ground and kind of shook his head and laughed.
Poor cop.
And it was just like, this isn't what usually happens.
Be nice to the cop.
And I was like, I understand that's not what usually happens, but this is what is happening right now.
I know.
I dare you to give me a ticket.
No, be nice to them. Be nice to them.
I'm always nice to
cops.
You
always tell people to be nice to the cops. Be nice to the cops.
I'm always nice to the cops. I thank them and wave whenever they're directing traffic. I'm always nice to them.
Keep in mind.
Until they're not nice to me.
Keep in mind, some sergeant is sitting there in the assignment room every single morning saying, go get those pot smokers off of Boston Common. The mayor wants the pot smokers off of Boston Common. Get the pot smokers off of Boston Common so I don't have the mayor coming down here again and yelling at me.
Are you kidding? I bet Marty would smoke a joint with me.
No, Marty's in recovery. Marty's in recovery. Remember that.
Oh, that's right. I bet Marty would understand why I'm smoking a joint then.
Marty gets a whiff of weed over at City Hall Plaza, and he's calling up the cops. He's like, why is everyone smoking marijuana in City Hall Plaza? Why
because
are they smoking pot in the common?
It's such a fun place to smoke pot.
Because it's legal. But, you know, he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to hear that. Yeah, so. The air conditioner shut off.
I know. I just realized all of a sudden, like, the that comes through our headphones just disappeared.
We've been hearing a lot about traffic lately, and we've been talking a lot about traffic lately. SF Gate, it's the San Francisco Gate, came up with an interesting story. Now, this is about San Francisco, but what they talk about, I guarantee you, is happening in every city around the country. What science says Uber and Lyft are doing to San Francisco. Ride-hailing companies once promised that their services would reduce the number of cars clogging city streets. In fact, the opposite is true in dense parts of cities. Everyone knows that ride-share hailing apps have undoubtedly benefited customers, making hailing a ride easier and significantly cheaper than taxi cabs. But are the benefits worth the long-term disruption created by Uber, Lyft, and other transportation network companies in San Francisco? Here's what recent studies tell us. None of this is good, kids. None of this is good.
Oh, my God. I feel like we talk about Uber and Lyft so often.
Yeah.
Like,
traffic is a mess. Uber and Lyft accounted for two-thirds of a 62% increase in congestion in San Francisco over 6 years, according to a study published last week. Without ride-hailing services operating, traffic models estimate that the hours of delay would have increased by 22%. Joe Castiglione, Deputy Director for Technology, Data, and Analysis at the San Francisco County Transportation Authority, co-authored the report covering 2010 to 2016 with researchers from the University of Kentucky. Uber and Lyft discounted the data transportation authority officials released, saying that it didn't account for the growth in tourism, freight, or delivery services that increased with the economic recovery.
What?
Bull. Two-thirds. So here's what they found. With the economic recovery and the increase in tourism and all of the other great things happening in San Francisco, traffic should have gone up. Traffic should have gone up by 22%. Instead, it's up by 62%. That is nearly three times the projection. And two-thirds of that is due to ride-hailing services. Two-thirds of the 62% traffic increase due to Uber and Lyft. Specifically,
yeah, this is in San Francisco and Virginia.
Specifically, downtown traffic is a mess. Congestion is much worse in high-density city business centers such as the Financial District than in residential areas. A June 2017 study found that on a typical weekday in San Francisco, ride-hailing drivers make more than 170,000 vehicle trips, and that the trips are concentrated in the densest parts of the city. Both Uber and Lyft say they support congestion pricing, such as the plan New York legislators approved for Manhattan that would charge drivers entering the borough about $12 to sit in traffic. But if congestion pricing discourages people from driving into the city in their own cars, ride-hailing services could see a surge of new customers.
Well, that's happening in San Francisco and in Arlington, Virginia, where Reagan, which is one of the biggest airports in the country, it's basically like the airport for DC. One of the Uber drivers said, Uber doesn't pay us enough. What the company is doing is defrauding all these people by taking 35 to 40%. And this is according to ABC. I have so many friends who, as their day job, like do Uber or Lyft or Postmates or something that they can just kind of pick up shifts.
Yeah.
And
the slave economy.
They always say like they barely break even.
Yeah.
Like with gas and with parking and if you don't do a certain amount in a certain amount of hours, then you get paid less. Like it's taking advantage of people who are just trying to make more money.
Uber lets you set your own hours so you can live the lifestyle you choose to live.
Yeah, the lot fills with 120 to 150 drivers sometimes for hours waiting for the busy evening rush, and nearly all the drivers have the same complaint, which is the one that I just said, that they don't pay enough for what they're doing. And for what it's doing, I mean, I've driven my car across the country twice. It takes a toll driving that much.
Yeah.
Like, I have a 2011 Corolla. I purposely got a Corolla because it's notoriously like easy to maintain. They last really long. But it takes a toll on your car. Like I changed my oil way more often than I did when I first got my car.
Yeah.
Like I have to fix the fan belts. I have to rotate the tires. I have to, like, it takes a toll on your car driving that much.
Yes, it does.
And God, this is unfair. And it's just another example of people who are without being taken advantage of just for trying to make a little more money.
During periods of high demand for rides with a limited supply of cars, Uber and Lyft raised their prices dramatically, doubling or tripling them, for example, on New Year's Eve. A 2016 Uber and University of Chicago Booth School of Business study that tried to make the case that surge pricing was beneficial to customers noted that surge pricing coincided with a doubling of drivers on the road. A doubling of drivers on the road. Uber paid for this study, by the way.
My goodness.
Ride-hailing services are killing the taxi limo business. We knew that. There are problems in that industry. This is old news. No need to follow up on that. Ditto for the rental car business. This I did not know. Uber and Lyft have captured 70.5% of the U.S. business traveler market, according to Forbes, leaving the car rental industry with 23%. Plus, people who used to rent cars on vacations are now more likely to rely on ride-hailing services to get around. Hertz stock is down 33% from 2018 highs. Fewer parking lots, garages, spaces in the city. While ride-hailing services add to congestion, they reduce the need for parking. University of Colorado researchers estimate that 1 out of 4 ride-hailing trips would have consumed a parking space. Whether you think this is a good thing depends on if you have a car and rely on city parking, which I do, or if you have a business that relies on parking for walk-in customers. I'm on board with those folks. Fewer people are taking buses. Every transit agency in the Bay Area saw a significant drop in ridership in the first half of 2018 compared with 2017, according to the San Jose Mercury. The reason? Too much traffic congestion, partially fueled by ride-hailing services. People stop riding buses because they're too slow on vehicle-choked streets, instead taking their own wheels, or Lyft or Uber, creating more congestion. It's a vicious cycle. Fewer people are walking and bicycling, even short distances. Why bother when you can hail an Uber? Ride-hailing services encourage trips that previously would be done with legs. The downside is the cost of those short rides can add up, plus walking and biking are healthy.
That's the craziest thing about it, is that, like, even a city bus, which I never take, because buses terrify me, I'll watch them stop at a stop, and then stop at the next stop, and I think to myself, that would have been like a 4-minute walk, like the distance between those two stops, and people are taking buses instead. And that's the same thing with Ubers. Like, people will take an Uber from City Hall to Faneuil Hall.
Yeah.
And it would take you like maybe 6 minutes.
I think the mayor brought that up, I think it was the mayor who brought that up and said people need to stop taking Uber like from one side of Boston Common to the other.
Yeah,
like, please stop.
Seriously,
doing that.
Like, it's so easy to walk. That's what I remember. There was one time I was performing at Nick's, and I knew it was going to be a busy night. I was like, I should just park at Quincy Center T before it was closed down and take the T in, and then just walk from Park Street. And I walked there, and someone was like, oh my God, you walked all the way from Park Street Station? I was like, are you kidding me? It's like a 6-minute walk. Like, and I didn't have to look for parking, and I got to get Beloco before I went, which...
Always a win.
Oh my God, Beloco is so good. For those of you listening to us, totally go to Beloco and get a buffalo chicken burrito.
We used to have a Beloco right up the street. I miss it so much.
Oh my God, that place, like, honestly, I would work at Nick's for free just for the excuse to go to Beloco. Nice.
There's one at Market Street next to my office. So that's...
No beans, just rice.
As Uber and Lyft...
No celery, sub, red onions. Sorry.
As Uber and Lyft siphon an increasing number of riders from public transit, Muni, BART, and other services will suffer. Lower ridership could cause less infrastructure investment in transit, higher fares, and a decline in quality. Uber and Lyft has said that their on-demand services support public transit. But Uber's own IPO prospectus makes it clear the goal is to replace some buses and trains with Uber. Quote,
Jesus.
We believe we can continue to grow the number of trips taken with our ride-sharing products and replace personal vehicle ownership and usage and public transportation one use case at a time, including through continued investment in our affordable ride-sharing options such as Uber Bus and Express Pool. Does any of this sound familiar? Does any of what's happening in San Francisco sound at all like what's been happening in Boston over the last couple of years?
Yep.
Where all of a sudden, where did all this traffic come from? Take a look at who's sitting in traffic with you. They've probably got Uber and Lyft stickers, or they got the little Uber and Lyft light up things
in
their cars.
And they're always the worst drivers.
Oh, they're terrible.
Like, that's like anytime somebody cuts me off or is driving too slow or driving too fast or fill in the blank, it's always, I always look and I'm like, oh, look, they have that stupid pink mustache or they have that stupid sticker or it's, and I mean, it's the great irony of all of it is that one would think that professional drivers would be good drivers.
But these aren't professional drivers.
They're theoretic. I mean,
no, they're not.
For all intents and purposes, they are.
No, this is Joe Blow with some time to kill and an app. This is not a professional driver. This is somebody who is out there basically acting as a roadway mercenary, trying to make more money than all of the other Uber and Lyft drivers who are on the road with him.
Do you know what's funny? I actually got rejected from Uber because my car, as you recall, I got in a really bad accident a couple years ago. A couple of years ago. Oh my God, that was 2012. That's insane. But they, when I lived in LA, I was trying to make more money and find something to do, you know. And they asked for a vehicle history. And because I had gotten in that accident, which it messed up my alignment a little bit, it mostly, I mean, they fixed it. It's like, it makes a little clicking sound when I take a really sharp right turn, but otherwise it's totally fine. But they said, because of your vehicle history, we cannot accept you as new driver.
Why would you tell them the truth? You should have just lied to them and given them a vehicle history from some other...
It was a blue book thing, or what do you call it?
They don't know your VIN number.
No, they ask for your VIN number.
Well, then fine. You go online and you find a clean car in Los Angeles and you send them that VIN number.
Honestly, I didn't really want to do it.
Why am I explaining this to you?
Because you're sometimes smarter than me about certain things.
No, I'm not saying you should lie to the Uber people, but the Uber people are lying to us. But
that's the thing is that honestly, it was one of those things where like when they rejected me, I was kind of... breathe a sigh of relief.
It turns out...
I didn't want to work for them.
It turns out that limiting the number of taxi medallions, which every city and town in the country did when taxis first became a thing, helps to keep congestion under control. Now, it also makes taxi medallions a highly coveted item that become worth hundreds of thousands of dollars in the same way that a liquor license becomes worth $100,000 if there are only so many in a town.
Yeah.
Who knew, whoever could have suspected that if we eliminated the need for a taxi medallion, suddenly you'd have cars all over the place looking for fares? Whoever would have guessed, gee, maybe those people that were figuring out the taxi medallions 60, 70 years ago were onto something.
Well, that's what's so funny about it, too, is that I think about when I went to college, and I, as our listeners know, I went to college at Fordham, which is in the Bronx.
Yeah. You can't get cabs to the Bronx.
And no, you can get gypsy cabs.
Yeah. But yellow cab is not going up to the Bronx.
No.
They're not going to the Bronx. They're like,
unless you're paying them like $70.
Yeah. Like, you want me to go to what street? No. We don't go further than 91st. That's it. That's
but
as far
that
as we
was,
go.
91st. Oh my God, that's so
then we
accurate.
Turn around. Yeah.
But, well, I used to...
They'll actually go to 95th now because that stretch in New York's gotten a little better.
Oh, yeah. Well, me and my best friend used to play a game. There was a bar that we go to on 204th Street, which was a decent walk from Fordham. So...
That's a decent walk from anywhere.
I mean, she would hail a gypsy cab and say, I'm so sorry. I don't have any money, but my friend just caught her boyfriend cheating on her, and she's really, really upset. So we really just need a ride back to the closest gate of Fordham. And I'm really good at pretending to cry. So I just go, oh my God, I can't believe he did that to me. This is so awful. The whole ride back, and then we'd giggle and skip towards our dorm.
So you had no problem ripping off the gypsy cabs in New York, but you couldn't figure out how to send a fake vehicle rap sheet to the Uber people in California.
Yes, that is accurate.
You are a small-time grifter. You're the smallest of small-time grifters.
I'm like Steve Martin in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
I'm gonna throw a bonus story your way.
I would love to be Michael Caine. Well, I want to tell you though how we stopped doing this practice, which we pulled off like probably 30 times.
Oh my God.
And felt okay about, because they were grifters themselves.
You take the girl out of Quincy, but
they'd be like $20, and like when we take them normally, they'd be like $20. I'd be like, seven. And they're like, yeah, okay. But how we finally stopped doing it was, there was one time that we tried to pull off our just call a spade grifter move.
Yeah, your little scam, your little free ride scam.
And we got into the cab and I'm pretending to cry. And the guy looked and was like, I drove you home last week.
Oh, dear.
You made all of this up, didn't you?
Oh, dear.
And Katie and I were just like,
Tales of a small-time grifter.
Whoopsie daisies.
Tales of a small-time grifter. Yep, that's how they always go down.
That's why I never went pro.
Bonus story for you. This comes from the Mainichi. It's Japan's national daily newspaper.
Ooh.
And this, we're gonna adopt this on this show immediately, and you may see more of this in the press in the coming weeks, hopefully. Foreign Minister Taro Kono announced on May 21st that he will ask key foreign media outlets to write Japanese names with the family name first, as is standard in the Japanese language. Kono cited a report released by the Education Ministry's National Language Council in 2000, stating it is desirable to write Japanese names on a family name first basis. Quote, the new Reiwa era was ushered in, and we are hosting the Group of 20 summit. As many news organizations write Chinese President Xi Jinping and South Korean President Moon Jae-in in the family name first name order, it is desirable for Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's name to be written in a similar manner. He, of course, gets it wrong in his own quote. Under the initiative, Shinzo Abe would be written Abe Shinzo.
Such a pro.
Japan, there's two interesting things going on here. One is, yes. There is a new emperor in Japan. And
it's crazy that Japan even still has an emperor.
But Japan declared a new era. And this is going to be known as the Reiwa era. And they declare the new era. I think it starts on. I think it starts either started May 1st or starts June 1st. It starts very soon, in honor of the new emperor. And this is the first time, I think, since 1986, 1989, that they've had a new era in Japan. And one of the things that they're doing is they traditionally, when they were trying to open up to the Western world, they said, "We'll around foreigners, we will respect first name, surname." But within Japan, they never have. In Japan, it's the same thing as it is in China or in Korea.
Yeah, where it's
surname first.
Yeah.
So Japan is now
like
saying,
Kim Jong-un.
As part of the new era, we want to be recognized internationally in the same way that we recognize ourselves at home.
Wow.
So it will now be Prime Minister Abe Shinzo.
Wow.
It's neat.
That's really neat.
Neat little thing.
I love things like that, where it's just cultures evolving, basically.
One last thing, and then we'll get on to the close of the show. I don't know how much stock anybody wants to put in this.
I can't wait to hear what this is.
You may want to steer clear of Burger King on Sunday.
I pretty much steer clear of Burger King in general.
Which is generally good advice. Their chicken nuggets are very, very good.
I was going to say, I really like their original chicken sandwich. It's really, really good.
There are a bunch of...
I hate that I like it that much.
There are a bunch of hooligans on a certain website with the word Chan in its name. I've said enough. Who have declared that this Sunday will be known as Milky Sunday. And they are suggesting that people go to their local Burger King, buy milkshakes, and just throw them around the store.
So they're suggesting that everyone acts like total freaking hooligans.
This is in response to...
Jesus H.
This is in response to Burger King's social media account in the United Kingdom basically saying that they would refuse to stop selling milkshakes after people started throwing milkshakes at politicians over there.
Okay, that... I'm at a loss. Those of you who listen to us all the time know that I am never at a loss for words. I am at a loss for words. That is so freaking absurd and stupid and backwards and...
What, that we're wasting the milkshakes or?
Every single part of it. Yeah. First of all, what a mean thing to do to the poor people that have to work at Burger King. Second of all, what a terrible thing to do to a delicious beverage such as a milkshake. Third of all, you're all just freaking so stupid.
Here's your problem. This is the specific tweet from Burger King.
My brain is going to explode. That makes me so angry.
Stop.
Never.
Here's a specific tweet that set people off. Dear people of Scotland, we're selling milkshakes all weekend. Have fun. Love BK. Hashtag just say. Which has been taken by a lot of people as an endorsement of political violence. And they're basically saying, look, the reason the police said stop selling
milkshakes.
Selling the milkshakes, there were 10 milkshakes thrown at politicians over the weekend.
Milkshakes.
Yes, milkshakes. It is an act of violence to throw something at somebody.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that that it's like I find it more violent too.
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
So because Burger King's social media feed said, go ahead and throw it. We're still selling milkshakes. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. People are like, what are you doing? Here's some of the responses to this.
Oh, it's going to make my brain explode even more.
Start the boycott Burger King movement. Drive them down. Here's one of the more popular ones. Endorsing political violence. Interesting.
They're saying that they want to keep selling their stupid artificial milkshakes.
The police had asked them to stop because of the political overtones of what was going on.
I'm gonna pull my hair out of my head. I swear to God, like I'm this close.
I'm just saying. So as a backlash to this, the folks on a certain website are saying, let's go to Burger King and huck milkshakes around the store. I don't condone that. But as long as you don't throw them at employees.
I mean, at least when they did the whole like milkshake, throw it through the drive-through thing, it was just funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't being FCC, let us swear on the radio. So, like, I'm really having trouble expressing myself properly.
Just saying, you might want to stay away from Burger King on Sunday, just in case the Milky Sunday thing goes down.
Hey, everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Debbie, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. We're about to wrap things up, but before we go, we're going to tell you what's hot, which is our favorite thing coming from or going into this week. And for me, as those of our regular listeners know, my best friend has been on The Voice for a while. Her name is Kim Cherry. She was just taken off, but she did a fantastic job. And she's back just in time to do Fagawi. And is that how you pronounce it? Fagawi? In Nantucket this coming week. So if any of you are heading down there for the festival, she's going to be at the Chicken Box with the rest of her band from May 23rd to May 26th.
Cool.
And like I said, I mean, she's awesome enough that she didn't move on, and then they asked her to stay in LA to do the finale show.
Nice.
Because they were like, it won't be the same without you.
Nice.
And I told her, just like, big giant thumbs up on both hands. But yeah, so if anyone is heading down for Fagawi, definitely go by the Chicken Box. They're going to be there every night for the next couple days.
Nice. Good weekend to get down there.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, it's supposed to be beautiful outside, so it's...
People Magazine and The Infatuation put together a list of the best sandwich in each state, and this is going to be controversial. The roast beef sandwich from Nick's Famous Roast Beef in Beverly is allegedly the best sandwich in Massachusetts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Them's fighting words,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, I come from a Liberty Bell town.
Them's fighting words.
I come from a Liberty Bell town. And
I mean, you just told me that there's some kind of outbreak at Kelly's, and I love Kelly's, so I'm having kind of an existential crisis here.
Yeah, I mean, we've all got our favorite roast beef sandwich, but, you know, Nick's, and Liberty Bell isn't even on the list with these people, so I don't know what to make out of that.
So those people are dummies is what you're saying.
So if you want to have the People Magazine noted best sandwich in Massachusetts, I got them at Nick's Roast Beef in Beverly. There's probably a better roast beef sandwich near you.
I mean, people said that Felipe's invented the French dip in Los Angeles, and I'm sorry, Cole's dead.
Great weekend to enjoy a roast beef sandwich, by the way, because you can eat them in the car, or you can, you know.
You can eat a roast beef sandwich anywhere all the time, and it's awesome. Where's your head at? WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. We're wrapping things up, but before we do, we're going to tell you that's a thing that happened, which is the craziest thing that we found from last week. For me, it kind of throws back to what we were speaking about earlier, where the creative team behind Bridesmaids has joined a growing movement to boycott the entire state of Georgia in the wake of them signing the anti-abortion bill. Today, a rep for Kristen Wiig confirmed to CNN that her new comedy with Annie Momolo, called Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, has pulled out of filming in the state in light of its heartbeat bill. The rep said Wiig would not be commenting on this decision and would not be changing her mind.
Yikes.
Yeah. Get it, Kristen Wiig. I read that. Usually I do something more outrageous or something for this segment, but I was just like,
yikes, yikes, yikes.
Get it, girl.
Pennsylvania. Happy birthday to Pittsburgh area resident Georgia Zawaki, who turned 55 recently. She decided to celebrate by spending the day drinking vodka. Then she realized that no one had sent her a birthday card, bought her a present, or given her a cake, so she attacked her boyfriend with a box cutter. Further making her point, she threw her boyfriend's TV on the floor, tipped over a nightstand, and broke his bed. Police came to give her a special birthday trip in a cruiser and a vacation at the Westmoreland County Prison, where she'll await her trial because no one has paid her $25,000 bail.
I honestly don't even know how to react to that.
Happy birthday to you.
I mean, especially my birthday was 3 weeks ago. It didn't go that way.
No. No, I don't expect mine is going to go that way either. And I guess this is a big one, so whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever. Anyway, that is just about all the time that we have.
Tis.
Shea Spillane.
I love you all.
And I am Derek Gary. Don't forget, get out there and get yourself one of those sandwiches this weekend, because, you know.
Well, you can.
Good weekend for roast beef sandwiches. happy Memorial Day. That's a thing.
Oh, right.
It's a start,
yeah.
It's a, the unofficial.
Happy Memorial Day.
Unofficial start of summer.
Don't go to Burger King for like a week. That's another thing.
Don't drink and drive.